Thanks for listening to CKMS Community Connections. I'm Yenny, and this is with Radio Waterloo, CKMS FM 102.7.
And with us in the studio is Professor Gorbett, and as well as our programmer, Jordan Kalist, through the static. She's a student at University of Waterloo. Nowadays, we are always trying to involve technology, and you guys are literally, that's where it's at. So you're in a program at University of Waterloo. Yes. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. So I'm Jordan Kalist. I have a show on Radio Waterloo. It's called Through the Static on Wednesday nights, 9 to 10. But that's not what I'm here to talk about today. I already did an interview about that. So yeah, I'm in a program at the University of Waterloo called Knowledge Integration. It's a undergraduate program and it's interdisciplinary, so you can kind of explore a lot of different subjects and disciplines, and you learn pretty core skills while you're doing that, like collaboration and problem solving and critical thinking, communication skills. And in our third year, we kind of put all of that to the test through a capstone museum project. So do you want to talk more about that, Rob?
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, yeah, why don't you introduce yourself and speak a bit?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my name is Rob Gorbett. I'm an engineer, and I teach in the Bachelor of Knowledge Integration at the University of Waterloo. I've been teaching there for 15 years now. Jordan kind of described the degree. The neat thing about the degree is that it's very flexible. So it allows students that have a variety of different interests and don't really want to pick or specialize in at university, or they don't want to specialize yet. They don't know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So some students are combining music and psychology, or music and math, or they're looking at history and biology, and combining those things in ways that they might not be able to do in a regular degree. Yeah. And as Jordan was saying, sort of part of the degree is this sort of capstone design project that they do in third year. So the students will start in September of their third year, and it runs for 8 months. And I'm the instructor for that course. So I've got Jordan in my class this term. And we're all getting ready to open our exhibits, which will open up next Monday, March 18th, a week from today. Jordan, don't shake. It's okay. And they'll run for a week, so March 18th and March 23rd on the University of Waterloo campus. But the project is essentially giving students pretty much free rein to pick a topic that they're interested in groups of five or six, and then become experts in that topic, and then figure out how they're going to design a learning experience for the visitors that is interactive and engaging, but also teaches them something.
Okay.
And so these projects take the form of 225 square foot museum exhibits, so physical with walls and, you know, text on the walls and activities to do.
Yeah.
And those will be open starting next week.
That's incredible. I was visiting the webpage. So it looks like there's different areas, like dreams. And which topic did you pick then, or your group?
Yeah, so my group made the dream exhibit. We're the first one listed on the website. So yeah, there's five different exhibits. There's five different topics this year. My group is kind of looking into dreams and the different benefits that they can have, and kind of the different things that they can unlock about yourself if you kind of take the time to look into them a little bit more. We've got a big section that focuses on how dreaming can increase creativity, and we use a lot of examples from a lot of different media and a lot of different, you know, different areas. Like, we have some books, we have songs, we've got inventions, companies. You know, there's companies like Google that were invented. The idea came from a dream, actually. So it's really kind of emphasizing that and how dreams can kind of play a role in creating all of these things that are so, like, integral to our society and pop culture. And we also kind of touch on some, like, therapeutic applications of dreams, some kind of different techniques that are used to involve dreams in therapy, and also kind of just taking a look at how, you know, the understanding of dreams has evolved over time, particularly through, like, a Western context, how it's kind of changed from, you know, being like a solely religious phenomena to kind of more like one studied through science and through, like, a humanist perspective. Yeah, so it's kind of just looking at all of that stuff. Obviously, you know, it's a pretty wide topic, and we only had 7 months or so to make the entire thing. So, you know, it's not fully comprehensive, but we kind of hope that it'll give people a good, like, introduction to understanding their dreams a bit better.
So what has been your favorite part so far?
Honestly, like, one of my favorite parts has been recently, like, doing more hands-on building stuff and, like, making things, because I don't get a lot of opportunity to do that. You know, in a university degree, it's a lot of reading and writing, and, mm-hmm. I mean, I was the research and writing lead for my group, so I was largely in charge of, you know, doing most of that research and finding most of that information and writing most of the text that's in the exhibit. But I still do get to make some stuff and paint stuff and design stuff, which is pretty cool. It's cool to, like, learn how to use all of those tools and stuff like that.
So, like, has it given you a better idea what you want to do after?
I don't know. That's always, like, a tough question for right. knowledge integration students, because it, like, varies so much.
That's
like,
amazing.
I've met some people who... you know exactly what they want to do, like, right out of the gate, and some people who are in fourth year or fifth year and still don't know what they want to do. I'm probably in the middle. Like, I'm doing two minors in urban planning and music, so I think I kind of want to try and pursue something to do with, you know, planning or something like that, but it is still pretty loose. I do think that this project has been a pretty cool experience, though, and definitely gives me some good skills to point out in interviews and stuff like that.
Right. So then you mentioned before we went on air that you've been with the university since the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
So then when did this program start?
Yeah, so I started in the 80s, but as an undergrad student,
okay,
1987, so I'm not that old.
Okay.
Although getting on there.
No worries.
But the KI program, the Knowledge Integration Program, we call it KI for short. The KI program has been around since 2008. We took our first students in 2008. And it's interesting to listening to Jordan about sort of what you're developing through the museum course. One of the things that is kind of a core of the design of the Knowledge Integration Program is that students are learning transferable skills through their courses that no matter where they end up, so even though Jordan doesn't necessarily know where they're going to end up right now, mm-hmm. No matter where they end up, the skills that they're developing, collaboration and teamwork, project management, especially through the museum course, project management, how to take a large project, work with people that you've not necessarily worked with before, divide up the tasks,
right.
keep it on track, all of that kind of stuff. Super transferable, mm-hmm. and you know, whether they're going into grad school or whether they're going into industry afterwards, it's going to serve them well. And mm-hmm. and I like what you said about picking up a power tool or working in the shop, right? Kids don't get to do that these days, right? At university, it's this whole separation, and mm-hmm. To watch them working with the bandsaw or drilling a hole when they're in third year and they've never used a drill before, and it's great. Warms my heart. To see that. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Shout out to Dan Beaver for
yes.
helping us with that.
Dan is the manager in the makerspace in our faculty, and so he runs the workshop and all the electronics and 3D printers and all that stuff.
That's incredible. So there is tools at University of Waterloo. It's not just academia.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. So some of the other groups are, because let's take a look at that. You are in the dream. There's a dream on. There's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, mm-hmm. which is insights into subconscious actions. And there's, the place we go. What is your happy place? Imagine that. Why the make-believe matters. And don't buy it. Anything can be made to look green. Are you buying it?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some interesting categories.
Yeah, I'm definitely really excited to see how all the exhibits turn out this year. I actually, you know, right now I'm actually living with a couple people in my year of KI. So, and we're all in different groups, so I actually kind of get, like, a bit of the scoop mm-hmm. on most of these groups and their process and how it's going and what they're planning. And I'm really excited to see it all come to fruition, because I can see like all the hard work that these people are putting in. And I think it's cool because I think we've got like a pretty wide variety of topics this year. You know, I can't really say what other years have been like necessarily because I've only been to like once or twice in the past. But yeah, I think we cover a pretty wide variety of topics this year, so it'll be cool. And I'm seeing a lot of the stuff that they're building and designing, and I think it'll be really cool.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, I can speak a bit more to the other projects if that's okay.
Please.
So in the order that you mentioned them, so Wink Wink Nudge Nudge is about nudge theory. So this is a field of behavioral psychology where people use subtle cues to impact people's decision making. And so that might be, you know, in the environmental space, it might be a sticker on the wall that says, did you turn out the lights? That kind of thing. And
in the
grocery store, it might be putting the healthier items at the front of the shelf to encourage people to buy healthy foods instead of sugary foods. And so they're looking at three different case studies of where nudge theory is applied. So both in the health field, environment field, and then in politics. And then sort of saying, now that you understand what nudge theory is, will you be a more informed decision maker and sort of watch out for these ways that people are trying to shift your decision-making process?
That's so interesting and important.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. And especially now, like, especially I think in the politics realm right now, like there's a lot of misinformation, disinformation, people trying to change other people's minds.
Right.
And so it's really important to be a sort of independent critical thinker.
Definitely. I know. I mentioned I went to University of Waterloo. The first classes I took was critical thinking and philosophy, and then I took academic writing. I did distance education for a lot of my degree because I used to live in Owen Sound.
Okay.
And then I transferred on campus when we moved here. And I love University of Waterloo. Mm-hmm. It was a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's very... And I mean, obviously, we used to be campus radio for University of Waterloo, our station. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about, and then...
Yeah, I can, yeah. Mm. So the third group is Oh, the Places We Go, and they're looking at something called a third place. So what is the importance of third places? And these are spaces that that people go to that are not work or home. So if we think about home as our sort of first place, and we think about work or school or our regular everyday as our second place, then... What are the important third places that we inhabit, that where we gather?
Okay. Yeah, you know, like this would be a third place?
This could be a third place. It's generally a place where you go relatively frequently, where you have a community, where you feel comfortable.
And it's not work.
And it's not work, exactly. So this radio station, in the sense that there's a community that gathers here, you know each other, you enjoy your time here.
Yeah.
This could be a third place, a cafe, the library.
Right.
You know, Cheers, for those of us who are old enough to remember that TV show.
Yeah.
Those kinds of places. And what are the importance of those spaces throughout history in forming social movements? So black barbershops is a really great example of a space where people felt safe to share ideas and challenge authority and sort of start the social movements that and so that's an example. And in the exhibit, the student designers are going to ask the visitors to think about, like, what would make a good third place for me? And where are some of the places that I gather? What is the importance of that? So I think it will be very impactful and hopefully help to restore some of the community awareness that we had pre-pandemic that has really dropped off.
It is so important, right? It's even more important now than it ever was.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So...
And then the fourth one is called Imagine That, and it's about the importance of pretend play in adulthood. You know, we play a lot as kids. Mm-hmm. We imagine castles in the cloud, and we do play dress up, and we kind of drop that. A lot of us drop that when we get older because it's play. It's for children.
Yeah.
But there are lots of ways that continuing to play and be creative in adulthood is important and can help you be a better person in the world and help you work more effectively. And so the students are going to present some of those examples of how do adults play pretend. Dungeons and Dragons is one example, or LARPing for those folks that know live action role play. Improv is another example. And so they're going to give some examples of those and ask people to sort of reconsider the importance of pretend play in their adult lives.
People get very set in their way, right? Where like this is streamlining. I'm maybe not like that myself. Like, I think to try to be creative, but it's the world, like, kind of requires us to be in a certain way. And some people just say, well, this is the way it is, and put your head down and just do this. Whereas a little bit of that imaginative stuff is like, wow, just even seeing something from a different perspective is so important to do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and I know, too, in that exhibit, they do give you the opportunity in the exhibit to even try out some of that stuff. I think they're still planning on having, like, a little bin of costumes mm-hmm. that you can try on, and they've got a mirror that you can look into, and I know they've got, like, a bunch of Lego as well. That you can play with, and I think they've got, like, some improv prompts, so it's really, a very interactive exhibit.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Nice. A lot of the exhibits will try to have some form of interaction, right? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things we talk about in the course, is that there's lots of ways to teach people things and to stimulate their imagination and their thought. One way is the classroom, you know, what we might call formal education. But mm-hmm. museums are informal education spaces. And, mm-hmm. and so you have to design these kinds of communication activities differently, right?
To, like, engage
you need to keep people
engaged,
right? Yeah. They don't have to be there. They don't mm-hmm. have to stay there. There's no test. So how do you, mm-hmm. as a communicator, design activities and text in a way that's going to really bring them in and allow your message to get across?
Yeah. I think, not to get off track before we get to the last exhibit too,
we'll
but I think one thing that's cool about this museum project is, you know, when you think about museums, a lot of the time you just think of, like, objects on display and, like, artifacts on display in a collection of items, and it's basically just a little label saying this is what this thing is, you know. That's kind of what, like, the ROM and stuff like that is pretty much. So, you know, when I've told people, like, oh, we make a museum exhibit, and they say, like, oh, well, where do you get the stuff to display? So I kind of need to explain, like, it's not really coming from that perspective. It's coming more from, like, trying to teach people stuff through, like, interaction and through text and all of this stuff. So it also kind of offers a bit of a different way of thinking about museums themselves and learning and how we do it in that context.
It's like bringing the museum to life in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was at a dinosaur kind of exhibit years ago at University of Waterloo. Mm-hmm. Is that still, like, an ongoing
still
thing?
Still there. Oh, yeah. It's actually gotten bigger and better. Yeah, the Earth Sciences Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know. I took geology at some point. I took everything. I told you I was liberal arts. I was in honors history for a while when I got to campus. And then I was like, no, like, I need to have a broad. I'm interested in lots of different things.
I just took my second year students. So Jordan's in third year, and they're doing this 8-month project. To prepare for that project, at the end of second year, there's a course where we learn about sort of this informal communication about learning in the museum context, and how is that different from the classroom.
Nice. Yeah.
And so I just took my students, my second year class, that are going to do the next iteration of museum exhibits to the Earth Sciences Museum. And the Karina McDonald, who's the curator there, is really happy to have the students come, because they have a framework for understanding what's working in a museum and what isn't. And so they're actually doing a project where they're evaluating her exhibits in the Earth Sciences Museum are going to give her feedback so that she can improve the Earth Sciences Museum. And then after that term, we're traveling to Berlin. So every cohort goes to a city, museum city, for 10 days, and we just hang out and visit museums. And
My gosh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
So when is that?
So that'll be, I mean, I assume that's beginning of May. Yeah. I went on it last year. So we went to Barcelona last year.
Okay.
Which was very fun. I think it was pretty valuable too, because, you know, the point of the trip is you go to one or two museums a day, you know, two if they're, like, smaller museums. And it's really cool because when you're really, like, poking around, you can find a lot of interesting museums, like, you know, beyond, like I said, the traditional, like, you know, art galleries or, like, just displays of artifacts. It's kind of encouraged to, like, try and check out a lot of different stuff and kind of see what's working in each one. And, I mean, part of it, too, is, like, I got, you know, a bit of examples for what not to do in an exhibit. Like, there was one that I went to where it was, like, really dark in the whole exhibit, and it wasn't very well lit, so it's hard to read the text, and I was also, like, really tired that day, so I was, like, falling asleep, kind of, because it was a really, really big room that was all dark. So stuff like that, you know, it's kind of just
well lit.
Yeah, like the good and bad examples of what not to or what to do with an exhibit. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. We should talk about the last one before I forget, because otherwise they'll be upset. I'm sure they're listening. Yeah, so the last exhibit is called Don't Buy It, and it's about sort of effectively greenwashing. So it's the sustainability movement. You know, we think about, for example, water bottles like Jordan's Thermoflask, which is right here, as being a sustainable thing, but they've become such a commodity, a sort of fashion item because of influencers on TikTok and Instagram, and now you have to have the latest Stanley, and there's people that you can find online that have like walls of these Stanley water bottles or mugs, and you know, color coordinated with their outfits, and where is the sustainability gone? Right? If I'm going to own 30 of them, that's not exactly sustainable. And then a year later, I have to buy the next model. And so they're sort of asking this question of like, what are we doing? You know, in the name of sustainability, that's pushing us to consume more. In fact,
there's some instances that maybe don't make any sense. Even I'm not sure what your idea is about these electric cars, even because the energy for the electric cars has to come from fossil fuels at some point, right?
Right. Well, or hydroelectric, but yes,
yeah.
We have to shift our way. You know, hydroelectric or nuclear, or so I think there are ways, but you can't get around the you know, electric cars need batteries.
Yeah.
So now you're going to be mining lithium.
Yeah.
Right. And when's that going to run out? And then what are we going to do? You know, so
horse and carriage.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. So it's going to be at St. Jerome's University Siegfried Hall Residence Wellness Center Gym, which is at 290 Westmount Road North in Waterloo, starting on March 18, which is next Monday. Mm-hmm. And then it runs for the whole week, one week.
Yeah, it'll come down. So, go ahead.
Yeah, Monday to Saturday, so 18th to 23rd. I think it's open until 4 p.m. on Saturday, and then kind of right at 4 p.m. we start tearing it down. So come out by then if you're wanting to visit.
I'm visiting you guys next week, and then I'll do some interviews. We can't go live to air, unfortunately, because next week's Monday is booked already, but we will have you on and share that.
Okay.
I'll take some photos if I'm allowed. Are we allowed to take photos?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. You're a very well-rounded young lady, Jordan.
Thank you.
You do a program here. You're a university student.
Thank you. Yeah, true KI, I guess.
There you go.
A lot of different interests and skills.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. So what are you looking forward to after that, then?
Breathing a bit. Like it's a very cool opportunity, and it'll be very nice to see it all. I mean, it's already very cool seeing it all come together. Like, even just, you know, last week I was like painting like the little foam letters that we have for our headings and stuff, and it was like, oh wow, this looks so professional, and it's so cool seeing it come together. But I think once it's all actually up there, it'll be really cool seeing it, but also really cool knowing that it's done, and there's like nothing else to, you know, worry about or think about in terms of that, because it is definitely a pretty all-consuming project. It is like, it's a big project, so yeah, there's a lot of thought and care and time that goes into it, that everyone has put into these projects. So I think we're all just really excited to kind of let everyone see them and let ourselves see them and see like the finished product of all this work. Yeah.
How many people do you hope will come out over the week? Or what is the usual amount of people that come out?
That's a good question.
So we usually get between 650 and 800 people. So it's quite a lot.
Yeah.
We're going to see if we can beat the record this year. Mm-hmm. So the record's something like 780 something or other. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if we're going to hit 800.
How do you keep track? Like, is it a ticketed event?
It's not ticketed. It's free for everybody, and it's suitable for all age groups. Mm-hmm. But we have some of the students will take turns at the front desk, sort of with a clicker, just kind of keep track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have a guest book, and if people come, please write something meaningful in the guest book. We read through the guest book all
the time. It's going to be something amazing about Jordan.
Well,
can I bring stickers and put stickers in there too?
Yeah, you bring I Love Jordan stickers. I Love Jordan stickers.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
See if I can get
there you go. Yeah. One of the things I love about it, I mean, listening to Jordan, what you are looking forward to, I thought you were going to say sleep and maybe dreams. It's just incredible to be able to, anybody that's ever been in theater or musical performance or where you're doing a thing that's bigger than you.
Yeah.
And then you finally get a chance to put it out there for the public.
Oh my gosh.
And yes. So that day that it opens up and all the people come through and the students get to sort of stand back and see the impact that they're having on the visitors.
Yeah.
And to have done something like that as a team and have that shared pride in your activity is, I love watching that because that's a transformative experience for people.
Yeah, I remember talking with you like way back. Well, because this show here, Community Connections, is, you know, like our endeavor to get to know our programmers better and for the community to get to know CKMS. So it's very much open door policy, really. And when we wanted to interview Jordan about her show Through the Static, and that's when she let me know that, by the way, I'm in this program and we're doing an exhibit. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like, and now we're finally here. That seems so far in the future. I think we mentioned that in January, maybe.
Yeah, I think that was January when we did that interview.
And I remember thinking like, wow, that's so far in the future. And now we're here. I'm looking forward to seeing everything next week as well.
Mm-hmm.
So are we.
Tell me about it. That seems so far in the future, like, you know, especially like scheduling all these tasks that we need to do before, because early in January when we got back from like the Christmas break, one of our, you know, things we had to submit was this like plan of basically all the tasks that we need to do up until it's on display, which was a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I think it has been helpful in the long run because it's kind of helped keep us on track.
Right.
But, you know, setting like deadlines for all this stuff, it's like, oh yeah, like February 16th, that's so far away. Or like March 1st, that's so far away. And now like we're installing the exhibits on Thursday. So it feels like it's kind of snuck up pretty fast.
You've been so busy because this is not your only class, right?
No, I'm in four other courses this term. And I'm a TA for another course. So
good for you. Thanks. Of course you are.
And you're singing and you're playing in a band.
And. Do you have pets? I mean, do you have time for anything else in your life? I don't know.
I don't have pets right now. I have pets like at home in my parents' place, but not here. But it's been busy. I'm definitely looking forward to getting a bit of a breather in April because everything will kind of slow down at that point. But yeah, it's been fun though. Like I enjoy everything I'm involved in, which kind of helps get me through it. Because, you know, if you're in a lot of stuff and it's just stuff you need to do, then I feel like that can really wear you down. It's stuff that I generally
right
enjoy
track.
Doing
you're like, this is your journey right here.
And
apparently your professor is awesome, so that's great.
Well, very personable.
It's nice to be able to have like a one-on-one conversation with somebody, you know. Some professors,
one of those university
really
professor
like,
guys
yeah you are because yeah. Some professors like don't really allow that because they are the professor that you know have. It's like we're minor students.
Right. When you introduced me as Dr. Gorbett or Professor Gorbett, I don't remember. I was like, nobody ever calls me that. My students all call me Rob.
Yeah.
It's fine. I prefer it that way.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the nice things about KI as well, is because it's a pretty small program and because it kind of approaches, you know, teaching and learning from a bit of a different perspective, you do get to know the profs pretty well, like one-on-one. You know, you're not just like a number in a class of 300 people or something like that. Like the profs know you, they know your name. You know, obviously, like I went to Europe with Rob, so and I've been in his class for a year now, so you know, you get to kind of know each other on that level as well. But yeah, like all the KI professors, it's like you call them by their first name pretty much all the time, and they all know you pretty decently well, I would say. So that's really nice to have, and it's really nice to like feel like you kind of have a place in your program, and it's a really good community. It's not just, you know, lectures you need to go to and just something to check off the checklist all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anything else? We kind of just like ran through this interview. Normally, sometimes we would take breaks and play music, but I figured because on Facebook we can't play music, so I would have to end the live. So I just kind of kept it in one format. We have the address. We have the date. So what
maybe
time?
There's a website if folks, so kix.uwaterloo.ca. So if you want, looking for details on the location and the time, specific times and things like that.
Yeah, we're also on Instagram. I'm definitely not checking the Instagram username right now. Yeah, so we're on Instagram at KixUW, so KIXUW.
Okay.
So follow us there. We post a lot of process photos and stuff like that. So if you want to kind of see a bit of the behind the scenes of people making parts of the exhibit and setting up and everything.
Young people are amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. That's great. And you're so awesome. And I want to ask you, what was your experience like this Saturday when we did our Golden MP3 award party?
Oh, it was good. It was really cool. I always appreciate getting opportunities like that to perform, especially, you know, like in public places. Yeah, just, you know, getting out there and getting that opportunity. I kind of just try and take them when I can, and I mean getting to play some original songs too was pretty cool.
Gosh.
And getting
I was like, it was so amazing. I liked your covers, but I really liked the stuff that you write yourself.
Thank you.
Because like I'm a high like stress person, anxiety, all of that. Like, so when I hear something that like tunes me out, I'm like, oh, thank you. Can I come and touch you now too? Like, you're gonna be like my I don't know. It's awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, we want to do stuff like that more. So hopefully you want to come and join next time as well. All right. Well, is there any finishing words you guys want to end this with? Come and see you guys next week.
I would just say, come see the Kix exhibits. March 18th to 23rd at the St. Jerome's University Gymnasium. And check out the Knowledge Integration Program, especially if you're somebody who, you know, likes a lot of different things in high school and doesn't necessarily want to specialize. Or you're somebody who wants to specialize, but they want a core of courses that are going to help you be better collaborators and better problem solvers.
Which is so important.
Right. Yeah. We have a lot of tricky problems that we need to solve.
And we
need people who know how to work across disciplines, because most of the problems we have are not going to have disciplinary solutions. So you've got to have multidisciplinary teams, and that's part of what KI is designed to teach you to do.
Yeah, and I guess I can just speak to that quickly too. You know, when I was in like grade 11, grade 12, like trying to figure out what I wanted to do for university, I was like very stressed because I liked a lot of different stuff, and you know, I kind of had skills in a lot of different stuff, so I found it like very daunting that I would basically need to like narrow it down to one thing, and I didn't really like that I would need to choose just one thing and, you know, kind of throw all my other interests aside. So when I discovered KI, it was kind of, you know, a bit of a relief almost, because it was like, oh, I can still, you know, explore a lot of different stuff, and I don't need to have my whole career plan figured out right now. You know, I can take some time and explore stuff I want to. And, you know, if I hadn't done KI, I probably would have never gotten into urban planning, because I wasn't even thinking about that as an option in high school. And then I kind of got to Waterloo and the Faculty of Environment and discovered that program. I was like, maybe I would like to try that. So, you know, you get those opportunities to just take those, like, you know, kind of open courses and those like first year introductory courses, and kind of discover stuff that you might not have discovered or known that you were interested in otherwise.
Urban planning, like, so important, right?
And not something that high school kids know about. This is one of the things about when you're in high school, you know, you're 17 and you know, like, teacher, doctor, lawyer, engineer, whatever, right? And so you come to university and it's a whole banquet of courses that you can explore, like cognitive science and urban planning, and like, and you know, you have no idea about these things if you don't have an opportunity to try them out. And so one of the neat things, people ask about the Knowledge Integration Program, and so they say, well, what do the grads do? And so one of the interesting things about the program is that you have half of your courses that you can pretty much take from anywhere across campus, And so within the cohort of knowledge integration students, most people are studying different things. And so they're not competing with each other. It's a very collaborative community. And then when they go out into the world, they're doing work that's aligned with the thing that they specialized in. So we literally have grads in everything from law to architecture to medicine to teaching to fish, working at fisheries and oceans, or working in the archives at Pier something museum in Halifax, the Immigration Museum, literally like all across the board. And you know, like 80-90% of them are employed a year out of school, and 95% of them would recommend the program and would do it again if they they wanted to. We just surveyed our alumni.
That's a good
So it's
record.
It's a, you know, it's something that I think folks should check out, especially if they're you know, prone to more interdisciplinary interests or you know, wanting to mix things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Jordan Kalist, Professor Gorbitz.
Rob.
I know, and I'm Yenny, and this is CKMS Community Connections.
bed, I hear the clock tick and think of you. Caught up in circles, confusion is nothing new. Flashback, long nights, almost left behind. Suitcase of memories, time after sometimes you picture me. I'm walking too far ahead. You're calling to me. I can't hear what you said. You say, go slow, and I fall behind. The second hand unwinds. If you're lost, you can look, and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch it. I'll be waiting. Time after time. If you're lost, you can look, and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. Darkness has turned to gray. Watching through windows, you're wondering if I'm okay. Secrets stolen from deep inside.
Deep inside.
And the drum beats out of time. If you're lost, you can look, and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time. If you're lost, you can look, and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you.
Silence of my room, I hear your voice softly calling. If I could only have you near to breathe a sigh or two, I would be happy just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead. My glass is almost empty. I read again between the lines upon each page the words of love you sent me. If I could know within my heart that you're lonely too, I would be happy just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you. Fire is dying now, my lamp is growing dim. The shades of night are lifting. The morning light steals across my window pane, where whips of snow are drifting. If I could only have you near to breathe a sigh or two, just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you, and to be once again with you.
I don't ever wanna feel quiet just as they play your favorite songs. Your breath disappears, no longer wind up like a spring. Before you had too much, come back and focus again. The walls have been in shape, they got a Cheshire cat grin, all blurring into one. This place is on a mission. Before the night out, before the animal noises, closer get cameras, before you come atop.
Some music there at the end. We will head out here with Jordan and Rob. So yeah, go and visit the KIX
Knowledge Integration Exhibition
next week, starting on March 18. I know I'm going to be there, and then we will get some of the photos and more information out. But you should definitely go and visit it yourselves.
Yeah. What are the hours? 10 to 6?
I think it's at 11 on the 11 website.
To, 11 to 6 most days, but okay, check out the hours on kix.uwaterloo.ca.
Thanks a lot, guys. Yeah. Stay tuned for the next show, and thanks for listening to Radio Waterloo.